So tonight, I would like to share with you what I've titled The Many Faces of Glory. We use this word glory many ways. For instance, we'll say, God gets the glory, or glory hallelujah, or what a glorious day this is, or he's a glory to our country. Or we'll say, now unto him be glory. And we'll even use that term for our flag, Old Glory. So what do you think of when you hear or see the word glory? It is one of those words used in so many ways that most people, I think, read over it, not thinking about what it really means. But I trust tonight we'll get an opportunity to see how glorious this word really is. The word glory connotates something equivalent to brilliance, splendor. It commands recognition and attracts attention by shining brightly. It can also be used in a boasting sense. You glory in your achievements. So this is basically what this word means. It's a brightness, it's a splendor, a brilliance that attracts attention and recognition. And like so many words, its definition is determined on how it's used, especially if it's used as a figure of speech. So let's go to the Bible and see how glory is used, and we'll keep an eye out for this special word, glory. So let's compare God's glory to man's glory. It says in Revelation 21 that there will be no need for the sun or moon, for the glory of the Lord will be plenty. Now that's shining brightly if we don't need the sun or the moon. In Psalms 19, verse 1, it says the heavens declare the glory of God. Now, how awestruck we are as we witness the billions of stars that God, by the way, has named all of them, and we see their brilliance. We just sit in awe of all the billions and millions of stars and galaxies that are up above our heads. And yet, we know that written in the stars is the glory of God, the great things that God has done to redeem mankind is written in the stars. So the glory of God is all about God's brilliance, commanding recognition. It is all that God is for us, the fullness of all that is good in him. Now, I want to share with you Exodus 33. And I'm going to paraphrase some of the things in this section, because here Moses asked God to show me thy glory. Now, Moses was pretty tight with God. He was a friend of God. He's one of the few people that really had a day-in, day-out communication with the Heavenly Father. And he wanted God to show him his glory, God's glory. So God's response was that he would make all my goodness pass before thee. This is kind of interesting that God would make all his goodness pass before him. This would illustrate his glory, God's goodness. Well, he had to put Moses in a cleft of the rock, if you remember the record in Exodus 33. And so he put him in a cleft of the rock. He went in there. And so when God's glory would pass by, he would only see the back parts, see my back parts. Now, obviously, God's glory was so brilliant, so full of God's goodness, that it was too much for Moses or any other man to see full on. It's God's goodness that shines out so brilliantly about God. Isn't he good? He is good all the time. And that's what he did to show himself the glory that he has to Moses. Pretty neat. Now, what about man's glory? Well, 1 Peter 1:24 says this, that the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falls away. You know, really not too much to the glory of man, is there? Sometimes he's looking pretty good, but after a while, things fall apart. And you may remember when Jesus Christ was tempted by the devil after coming out of the wilderness, and the devil said, all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, he was going to give to Jesus if he would worship him. Well, Jesus wouldn't have anything to do with it, as we know. And praise the Lord. And how did he deal with the adversary? He said, it is written. He used the word of God to go against him. But this glory is really something that the devil would offer him, the kingdoms of the world and their brilliance, their glory, their recognition. And pretty tempting of the devil. You know, there is an aspect of the glory of God that I believe will be very enlightening and very encouraging to you. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll get into our Bibles at this location, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Okay, we see two contrasts here, don't we? The letter and the Spirit. Verse 7, but if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. Remember the story when Moses came down with the tablets, the commandments, and he was so glorious they couldn't see, they couldn't look at him. Verse 8, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. You know, that was very glorious back in the Old Testament, but boy, there is something with the giving of the Spirit, gift of Holy Spirit, that far exceeds in glory. Verse 10, for even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. Verse 11, for if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Man, I mean, I think God's trying to make a point here, right? Verse 12, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. You know, he had to put a veil over his face because he was just shining too much. Verse 14, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. And we do see that even today, people living by the Old Testament, and they have that veil. But that veil, it says, was taken away. It was done away in who? Christ. Verse 15, but even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, that veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there's freedom. For we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Wow. When we today, as born again ones, look into the mirror, we behold with open face the glory of the Lord, a glory so big, so far exceeding the Old Testament. We don't need a veil. Jesus Christ ripped the veil in half so that we could have access to God, didn't he? Man, oh man. And look how glorious we are. Let's read that verse 18 again. But we all with open face, beholding as in a mirror, a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Wow. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Well, I hope you're seeing this, because this is fantastic. You shine. There's nothing dull about your life as a born-again believer. You are glorious in His sight. And every time you look in the mirror, you should just, well, you should wear sunglasses maybe, because you are glorious. You have God's glory in you. See, that Spirit is so much bigger than the law, the Old Testament law that maintained order until this Christ could come and that Spirit could be given. And man, that glory far exceeds any glory they had in the Old Testament. And it's in us. We have the Spirit in us. Man, oh man, oh man. Fantastic, isn't it? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto what? Our glory. Man, oh man. Something so fantastic. It was a mystery. God kept it secret. He ordained it before the world for our glory, for our brilliance, our recognition. Oh my gosh. Which none of the princes of this world knew. Talking about the devil spirits. Satan, the devil, split foot. None of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified who? The Lord of glory. That's right. Wow. That's how big it is to have Christ in us, the hope of glory. Right? Because the devil, if he would have known this mystery that God ordained before the world for us to have that Spirit within us, that Christ in us, for our glory, he wouldn't have crucified Christ. That's amazing. That is phenomenal. You know, it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, we are to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Then in verse 12 it says, that we, talking about you and I, born again ones, that we should be to the praise of his glory. Whose glory? God's glory, who first trusted in Christ. Wow, we're to the praise of his glory. God brags on us. You and me, he brags on us. He says, hey, Michael, hey, Gabriel, look here. Look at these born-again believers. They're my glory. That Spirit in them, they shine. They are just top-notch. Wow. Then in Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. All the greatest, most brilliant, shining light is you and I, because it's Christ in us. That Spirit of God in us is just so brilliant. Oh my goodness. We are very, very special. We need to recognize how special we are. Man, oh man. I was so blessed. Vicki did a great teaching last Tuesday, I believe it was, on Christ in you. Man, there's nothing greater than Christ in you. What a glorious lifestyle we can live with Christ within. Our life is not hidden away, insignificant, but God has purposed for us to shine brilliantly for Him to the extent that we're His glory. He brags on us, His children filled with the glory of Christ. We are to the praise of His glory. Isn't that fantastic? Man, what an illustrious life we live, being so special to God Almighty. Man, let's make godly choices in light of knowing who we are. Let's recognize that we see who we are in Christ and let that shine in our life. You know, as it says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, do all to the glory of God. That's what we want to do. So my encouragement tonight to you is keep shining in all the brilliance of the Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.